The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I don't usually take requests for the Morning Drive theme song, but today we did. We got a little Steve Miller in there with Swing Town, and looking forward to today's show. We have folks from the Berkshire Eagle on this morning. We have Executive Editor Kevin Moran. We have our reporters Claire O'Callaghan, Greg Sukenik, and Ellie Davis, and they're going to be telling us all about what it's like to cover a big event in Pittsfield, specifically the one that happened last weekend when we had Vice President Kamala Harris here in Pittsfield, the big visit of the Vice President of the United States. So we want to pull the curtain back on that a little bit and talk to our folks from the Berkshire Eagle about what it really takes to put a big event like that together. It's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to it. First, let's go to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service. Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening, then scattered showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you go. We've got some hot weather coming up, maybe some showers in the mix there. It's a typical summer forecast here in the Berkshires. Hot, though. Definitely hot. We get used to that. And like I said yesterday, I'd be glad to have that any day over what we might get in January. So just remember that. It's hot here. It's not snowing. We're not sliding our cars off the road and all the other good stuff. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our WTBR studio here on 4 Federico Drive. And I'm really proud to have the folks from the Berkshire Eagle here this morning. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Again, it's Kevin Moran, the executive editor, and our reporters Claire O'Callaghan, Greg Sukenik, and Ellie Davis. So thanks for being here. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Sean.
So, you know, as I was following everything that was happening last weekend, and me personally staying away from all the melee that was happening down on South Street in front of the Colonial Theater, you folks were all waist deep in this coverage, right? So I want to talk to you about what it takes to put it all together. And let's talk about the very beginning. What was the kernel of the nugget of the first time you got wind of what was going to be happening here in Pittsfield? When did that happen, and where did you hear it from?
It was earlier in the week, so it would have been probably, let's say, about Monday or Tuesday of this past week, and we started getting some emails because, of course, they were circulating the word of this Facebook of this fundraiser, not in Facebook, yeah. Facebook, I'm sorry, by email, and starting to sell tickets. And so, you know, at first you can't be too sure of these things in 2024. That's why you have a local newspaper to vet your news, to make sure it's going to be true.
A lot of rumors on social media.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so our Clarence Fanto, wonderful reporter for the Berkshire Eagle, and whose institutional knowledge and connections, he was able to track down and confirm that, in fact, there was something underway. Mm. And that, and come to find out that this apparently had been in the planning. This visit had been in the planning for almost a year before this.
Wow.
And so there was a lot of work and effort to apparently that went into it, and a lot of top level work. But he did. And of course, after she became the presumed presidential nominee, of course, after Joe Biden decided he wasn't going to go, there was some question as to whether she would even come.
Right.
But turns out, of course, that Clarence later confirmed that, in fact, she was coming. And it was also very confusing because we knew she was supposed to come on the Saturday, the 27th, but we weren't exactly sure what time, and they weren't telling you what time. And we kind of knew where the thing was going to be, but we kind of didn't because, you know, they kind of keep a little bit of mystery about these kind of things.
Right. And add to that, I guess, the fact that it was originally and all the way through set up as a fundraiser event, right? And those are generally sort of cloaked in a little bit more mystery than maybe a normal visit, right? That's the kind of thing that we expect. And you would almost normally not expect a presidential or vice presidential candidate to be visiting, especially a Democratic one, to be visiting Massachusetts. Right. It's not a swing state, not going to figure in probably to the election, but for fundraising purposes, probably makes a big difference. So that's the nugget of what started to occur. And I think, Kevin, you mentioned you kind of knew where this event was going to happen, but they were publicly very mum about where it was going to happen, except for the fact that when you went online to look at the seating chart. The seating chart, right, was the identical seating chart of the Colonial Theater.
Yeah, it was a big open secret. Yeah, good. Clearly a big open secret. Yeah. But and they confirmed, and actually they officially confirmed everything on the Friday before, around 4 o'clock, I think it was, later that afternoon. Yeah. They said, yep, it's going to be here, and it's going to be this time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what went into it is once we knew that the plan was Vice President was going to be here. We had to kick in a plan, and the planning involved a lot of people. In addition to the folks who were here, Greg is here, Claire is here, Ellie is here, but there was another a bunch of other folks. I mean, obviously Clarence Fanta was in the lead up to it. John Scavlum, one of our other reporter interns from Williams College, was there. Stephanie Zolshan was brought into the mix. Jillian Joan was brought into the mix. Of course, Lindsay Hollenbaugh, the managing editor of the Eagle, was key, and she ran point that whole afternoon of her visit. She was amazing.
So this is an all hands event.
All hands event, yeah. And basically, I will say that the big challenges were trying to get Claire into the building to cover it, because it's a fundraiser. It is a private event.
Yeah.
And then if we also decided that we were going to, like I say, flood the zone, I like to say flood the zone, with reporters and coverage, and we decided that we would fan out outside and do that. And I'm going to let the rest of these guys talk, because from here, they've got the interesting stories to share.
Well, let's talk to Claire here for a moment then about getting inside the building, right? So tell us what the process was like to even try to do that, because again, this is a private fundraiser event, right? They don't necessarily have to let anybody in. They could all be ticketed, and they could decide that there'd be no press. And you know, I was surprised actually to have seen any pool footage of television coverage of inside the event. Some of it got out. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but tell us from your perspective how it was to get in and then be able to report on what's happening inside the building.
Absolutely. There was very little local and regional coverage. So from my understanding, I was the only local reporter that got into the venue. But once Kevin secured the press pass, and he was very determined about that, and that did pay off in the end, we showed up that morning, my team on the outside and me as well. And that was still very unclear, you know, how I was going to get inside and how to do that. So talked to some Secret Service, talked to members of Harris staff, and kind of just waited around outside.
This is the day of now? Or?
This is the day of, right? Wow. We showed up the morning of. Kevin drove us up to the theater, dropped us off outside. Everyone was already lined up, right? There was a lot of people hoping to get a glimpse of Harris. Everyone who was actually purchased tickets to get into the venue was also lined up outside. And so I think I waited for about an hour outside. They had to confirm my press pass because there was a little bit of a hiccup with that. I think it was under Kevin's name, so they said, you're not Kevin, you know. So there were some questions. I remember, you know, I was texting our managing editor, Lindsay, saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in, but it did work out. And so at that point, it was just me, a columnist from the Washington Post and a local radio reporter. And so we were taken in around 12:20.
And that's it?
Just the three of us.
Those are the three reporters for this entire event.
And more came. More came later. But so at that point, there was just the three of us. And so we were taken into the venue and kind of led up to this little upstairs room with no windows, kind of just this little room. And
you got put into the tank.
We were put into the tank and then informed that we'd be there until Vice President Harris spoke. And so that was kind of this moment where where it was something unexpected for us.
Yeah.
We thought we had maybe cover the performances in advance and their speeches. But we ended up hanging out there and more reporters joined, you know, as Harris's speech came closer to happening.
So was there a vetting process? Did you need to present passports and licenses and things? I mean, it's a secure event, considering also what had just happened, right, in the national news only a couple weeks earlier, this heightened sense of insecurity, if you will. I'm sure the Secret Service is probably, you know, on pins and needles with all this stuff. Did it seem to you like it was an even more secure event than maybe you would have expected?
I think it was secure in terms of the fact that there were few reporters let in, and that was something that a lot of people were talking about upstairs. You know, CNN's not here, and you know, other news outlets weren't there. I don't know on Kevin's end what he had to provide to get the press pass. I didn't have to provide too much on my end. I, you know, showed my press pass, gave my contact information, and that's what all they needed from me.
Okay. So they respect that at least, right? They respected a little bit of the local news coverage, Kevin, that you saw that?
Yeah, you know, and the folks I worked with to ensure that we got some access were obviously... We're so thankful that we got the access, but they were also just letting me know that there's a limited number of reporters in general, and it didn't sound like they were necessarily giving a lot of local press passes out either. But leading up to that whole event, especially the past, I would say 48 hours leading up to it, there's a lot of security activity that was taking place. Well, I'm sure people saw it, but above the Colonial. There's helicopters that were flying around. There were the day before, jets that flew over the city and just doing that protocol. So there was security at the event itself, but there was also, you could just see the preparations that were taking place beforehand. And that certainly elevated the excitement for me.
Greg, tell us about your angle on this.
Okay, so... So we get dropped off at the corner of East Housatonic and South, or West Housatonic and South, if you're on that side of the intersection. And so here I am in my hometown, and this intersection doesn't look exactly the way it usually does. There's a line of people with tickets trying to get in. There's folks, you know, filling in on all sides. And then there's heavy security. Like, one lane of South Street is closed. And so basically we just started... You know, we just started doing our jobs right when we got dropped off. And some of the things that we had, the planning that had gone into this basically was, you know, we had our phones. We're going to be live blogging from the scene with a platform we had just figured out how to use within the last 24 hours. And it worked really well.
I was following along with that.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So, you know, as someone who's kind of been through this before, I was at the Colonial when First Lady Hillary Clinton was here in 1998. Mm-hmm. Yeah, geez, last century. cut me in half and count the rings. You know, as you were mentioning, you know, we had, you know, an attempt on the former president's life the week before. So it's kind of pins and needles, but at the same time, just a lot of activity and a lot of people just really excited. And we had folks to sort of, I mean, sort of like, I don't want to say fish in a barrel, but we had folks just to be able to go out and talk to people who had come from a good deal away, despite the fact they didn't have tickets, people who were just there hoping for a glimpse of the vice president, a lot of those folks, and folks who had tickets and were in line and just started talking to them about why they were here. And we had planned in advance, okay, well, if something really bad happens, this is what's going to happen. Because, I mean... you know, in 2024, the unforeseen is kind of the expected.
Well, especially over those couple of weeks, right, where just thing after thing after thing was happening, and it was like, okay, what happened today? It's just impossible to keep up with it. And big things too, like, you know, historical things.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is interesting that what you're saying is that there are multiple stories to cover here.
Sure.
On this one event, we think about what Claire got in and was able to report on the substance of the vice president's comments and the sort of the general milieu of what's happening inside the room, right? And yet Greg's talking about all the things that are happening outside.
Right, and then excitement starts building, and suddenly there's, you know, some trucks move across the corner of South and West Housatonic. You start seeing a helicopter circling overhead, and, you know, then a bunch of supporters run across the southbound lane of South Street. Some of them have Trump banners, so it's a little... there's a little tense there for a moment. Hmm. There was someone actually needed medical attention, so there's an ambulance in the middle of that as well. In the meantime, we're just, you know, reporting what we're seeing and sort of doing this all in real time. And, you know, fortunately we have Lindsay and also Maggie Baker at the newsroom taking this all in. Hmm. And we're just all sort of, you know, taking turns posting to the blog and sort of trying to allocate folks. And then we sort of start to figure out, okay, well, people are in the building. Claire's in the building. It's gotten really quiet. There's horses. There's
mounted police.
There's mounted police in front of the building. So something's about to happen. So we kind of fan out and start looking to try to figure out, okay, well, where's the motorcade coming? And this is where we hand off to Ellie Davis.
And that's the big story of the day, right, is that we have all these people lined up in front of the Colonial Theater to hopefully catch a glimpse of the vice president stepping out of the beast of the limousine or the SUV or whatever it is she's traveling in, and you know, to great fanfare. I mean, that's what we're all imagining right in our heads of what was going to happen there. And guess what? Bait and switch. You don't get to see that. Something else happens, right? And Ellie, what did you find out that happened?
Yeah, so we were getting a lot of conflicting information this whole time. We didn't really know exactly what time Vice President Harris would be rolling into the building. We were sort of finding out live as it was happening. Greg had kind of told John and I, the other reporters that were on the ground, you know, when you start hearing helicopters, look alive. For one thing, there were a ton of people outside the Colonial Theater hoping to get a glimpse of her.
Sure.
But we figured she wouldn't be coming in from the front door. Mm. So we also knew that she was coming from the south because that's where the airport was from. And our photographer, Stephanie Zolshan, was told that she would be coming on Crowfoot Street.
Hmm.
So she was coming northbound, and it was sort of a question of where is she going to pop over from the main road and go on some smaller roads. And there was also a big crowd of people on the corner of Wendell and East Housatonic Street, which is sort of positioned to be close as possible to the back of the Colonial Theater where she was coming in. But to me, I was looking at the map, it wasn't obvious that she would 100% be going down Wendell to get to the back of the Colonial Theater. Mm. So I sort of looked at the map and I was trying to figure out what is the bottleneck where she's going to have to go through before she ducks into one of multiple possible routes to get to the back of the Colonial. So I told my coworker, John, you know, you stay here with the crowd of people behind Wendell. I think she's probably going to come this way, but I'm going to go two blocks east to Pomeroy Street.
Mm.
And so I'm there. I'm sort of sitting under a tree, like writing my live blog updates for like 20 minutes of all the interviews I had just gotten, but had not had time to write anything up about. And then we're getting updates like she's in Lenox, she's in Lee, like she's coming northbound. So the excitement was kind of building. And then I see this police officer in this golf cart looking vehicle come down this street. And he sort of stops in front of me.
This is Pomeroy now?
I'm on Pomeroy.
Yeah, okay.
And he says, wait 1 minute, there's going to be a show. And I freak out. I'm like, she's coming here? Like, you're sure she's coming on this street? And he's like, yes, but don't go telling everybody. And I didn't go telling.
Did he realize you're a reporter?
I don't know what
that's your
realized.
Job to tell everybody.
But I didn't go telling everybody. I only went telling a few people, my coworkers who were also there. I think I sent like an all capital message being like, urgent. And thank goodness my coworker John had the sense to not start sprinting with the press pass.
Oh, right.
Because
probably don't want to create a scene like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just kind of casually strolled over, and he made
good
it
move.
In time.
Yeah.
And a few minutes later, sure enough, the motorcade comes down with all the bells and whistles you could possibly imagine. We counted 24 vehicles in the motorcade, including the motorcycles. And it was awesome. We were the only reporters that were there to see it go by, one of only maybe five spectators who were there. And I know it's probably not a big deal for people who have spent any amount of time in D.C. or places where motorcades often go by, but this was the suburbs of Pittsfield.
Yeah.
So
it's a little different
was really
here.
It was really awesome to see it happen.
And of course, you're probably looking for that that ultimate photo of some kind, right? To see that happen. Were you able to accomplish that? Because you had two photographers involved with your team as well, but sometimes the action doesn't happen where the photographers are. So how did were you able to do that?
That was actually the case, because the information that Stephanie got, our photographer, about Crowfoot Street was wrong. Kamala Harris sort of popped over to the small local roads even further south. So Stephanie and all the other photographers that she was next to totally missed it when it was coming in. I got a video of it coming in that we could post to the live blog. And then Stephanie was able to get some pictures of Kamala Harris when she was leaving. We posted up at the same place. And thankfully she came out the same route that she came in, and by that time everybody had kind of caught wind and there were a lot more people there to watch her go by. So Stephanie was able to capture that picture of her leaving.
That's great. We're talking about documenting history here in Berkshire County. Just happened this past weekend. If unless you're living under a rock, you know that the Vice President of the United States was here on Saturday visiting and doing a fundraiser at the Colonial Theater, a sold-out fundraiser, I might say, with very limited access. And we're talking to the folks from the Berkshire Eagle here today to talk about how their coverage came together and how they were able to present it to all of us here in the Berkshires, so that we know what happened and what was happening at the moment. And just to remind folks that you're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and my guests here this morning are executive editor of the Berkshire Eagle, Kevin Moran, Claire O'Callaghan, Greg Sukenik, and Ellie Davis, the reporters who were on the ground that day to make it all happen. And so, you know, let's talk about some of the other stories that were happening on the ground at the same time. Because, again, nothing like this, nothing big like this happens without some, I hasten to use the word sideshows, right? But this is what happens. There are things, and there are human interest stories as well. And I think, Greg, you mentioned some of the folks out in front and hoping to get that look at the vice president, which, of course, didn't happen out front. What were some of their opinions? What did they talk about? What were they hopeful about or fearful about? You talked about the couple of different opposition sides that were there.
Yeah, well, I mean, when in a story this big, and fortunately, I think this is the advantage of having local media and having the resources that we had to fling at this story, where you can actually spread out and try to bring all this together. So one of the things that sort of surprised us and really went viral, the number of folks with signs. You knew that there was going to be a standout, didn't know exactly where it was going to be. Were they going to try to push them all the way up to Park Square? Were they going to push them all the way down to Broad Street?
This was the protest standout?
Well, this is the sort of the support standout.
Support, okay.
The for some reason, the Trump folks, and there were some folks who were talked about U.S. policy in Israel with the the Israel-Palestinian conflict, and so they had their signs as well. But the folks who were at the corner of South and East Housatonic, they had, well, there was a kind of a bluegrass band playing folk songs, and there was also a lot of people with signs. And for some reason, someone holding a sign that said "Trump is weird" we took a couple shots of that. And
was it a handmade sign
It was hand letter, but it was block letters, and for some reason that went viral. I think George Conway retweeted that photo, or that photo went with the story, and that's sort of just kind of taken on a life of its own. So it's you never know what's going to go from the corner of South and West Housatonic Street all the way out around the world. It's just the number of folks who were there simply because they just wanted to be somewhere near history.
Mm-hmm.
I think, folks come out to events like this for various reasons. Some just want to make themselves heard. Yeah. There are lots of folks in the African-American community for whom this was, the Black community for whom this is really super important. Mm-hmm. They're seeing, and we found out later that there was actually a contingent of black kids from the ROPE program here in Pittsfield who actually made it as part of the welcoming committee out to, you know, to
Barnes Air Force Base.
Barnes was it National Guard or Air Force.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, I mean, there's also people in line, and you're presuming, okay, well, this is a fundraiser, so these folks aren't here to quibble. But there are questions to ask about, well, what did you think about the way that, you know, Biden withdrew, and were you with Harris before? And now that she's in, what do you think? So it just kind of gave us an opportunity to sort of dig deep, you know, into what people were thinking. And then there was also the civic, just the civic pride angle of it. You know, Mayor Marchetti, several city councilors were there, folks who've, you know, in leadership positions from around the county were active in Democratic politics. And just hearing their take on sort of what it meant to the city, you know, and our ability to host this event on short notice and put their best foot forward. And I would be remiss also if I didn't mention, I mean, they weren't really talking to us at the time, but the amount of police and fire and state police and county sheriffs who were working with the Secret Service, they were, you know, they were in the background, but they were noticeably in the background, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, they were sort of a presence.
Well, and I'm sure it's a massive undertaking from the local level on that side also, right?
Sure.
Everything from public safety to, I think, EMTs and ambulances and all those things. Yeah. All that had to be dropped into this plan, which, as Kevin mentioned, was really in the works for over a year. Close to a year. So those things don't come together in a week. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, pretty obvious, especially with the last minute curveball that the president threw in. And so, but yes, my understanding is that the Mr. and Mrs. Ellison and worked with Deval Patrick and you know this whole plan came together, and of course, you know, came together conceivably on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, that curveball came, and then boom, you know.
And there was some question for a while there about whether she was actually going to come after that curveball.
Right,
that might have all just fallen apart based on, you know, what the needs were at that moment. It was only a week before.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we also didn't know what, if anything, we were planning for. We probably figured that the show would go on if the vice president didn't make it in an appearance. We figured, well, heck, she knows how to use Zoom, right? So that crossed my mind as a possibility as well. But they had raised, you know, what ultimately what, Claire? 1.8 million.
Wow.
So I mean, you need to show up for that kind of money, or at least I would.
Yep.
Yeah. Plus James Taylor and Emmanuel Axe. I mean,
and Yo-Yo, right? Yo-Yo played.
Yo-Yo Ma.
Yo-Yo was there, right? Okay, he's there. My buddy Yo-Yo.
And it actually seemed like there was less coverage of the sort of the soft parts of the event, like any other situation where you've got James Taylor coming to the Colonial Theater to play something would be like front page news, right? And he's the supporting act.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
You know, one of the things that Claire did really, really well is, and she can certainly talk best to this, but just her level of preparation for writing that story from inside and covering the speech. So I'll let her talk about that. You got to hit on that.
And I'm going to ask Claire to hold that off till after the second half break here that we're going to take, because I do want to talk to you more about the substance of what you heard from Vice President Harris, and also what it was like to stand next to some of those national reporters. Anytime you're next to sort of the national people in the game, and I'll say that from a TV production side as well, whenever we get to stand next to the people that are doing this all the time at that very, very high level, it's always an exciting moment, and you feel like I'm next to them. I mean, that's that alone for someone in the business, right, is a huge accomplishment. So I want to talk to you about that. We want to talk about the historical aspect that the Eagle also brought in with Joe Derwin, who came through with some great reporting, right, on past presidents and vice presidents who have been in the Berkshires and visited here and various things that happened to them while they were here, the fascinating stories, right? And that was all reported also in the Eagle. And I think Channel 13 also used that as a news partner of the Berkshire Eagle. I watched a little of that coverage, and I thought that was very well done. So, again, doesn't happen without the great local reporting from the Berkshire Eagle, and we're very lucky to have this here in covering Berkshire County and beyond. Got to have it. Got to have that local news coverage. Don't want to be without it, for sure. You're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And we are going to take that top of the hour break right now. We'll be back with more from folks from the Berkshire Eagle talking about the big vice presidential visit to Berkshire County right after this. You're listening to 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Sometimes I can't handle listening to that heavy of music.
Yes! Yeah, baby! Oh,
WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is August 2nd, featuring a family fun zone, Maker's Market, live music, entertainment, and more. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com and UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Jen from Cultural Pittsfield.
And I'm Wiley from the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. We received a National Endowment for the Arts Our Town grant to develop a cultural plan for the city of Pittsfield, and we want your help.
We are working with cultural partners like the Berkshire Black Economic Council and Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. to come up with this first ever plan of its kind. Head to lovepittsfield.com for more info on how you can get involved.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8, and if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back here to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. It's Friday, August 2nd here in the WTBR studio. We're live this morning with folks from the Berkshire Eagle, and we're talking about the vice presidential visit that happened just last week. It seems like it was a month ago already, but it was just last week, folks. That was a big deal here, and we're kind of pulling back the curtain on some of the coverage and talking about how that all happens and how these folks make it happen for you so that you can read about it in the newspaper and watch it on the blog and be involved. Not everybody was able to be there. Obviously, it's a small event. And so I think they brought it to life pretty well, being able to report on it for you. A whole team of people doing that. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. First, let's get another look at the weather forecast from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs in the upper 80s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. then scattered showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a complicated forecast when we run out of jingle music and the National Weather Service voice bot is still giving the forecast. But yeah, some showers and thunderstorms and some hot weather. It is a Berkshire summer here, and that's what we're expecting. So again, welcome back to the show, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And I have with me here in the studio Berkshire Eagle Executive Editor Kevin Moran, and reporters Claire O'Callaghan, Greg Sukenik, and Ellie Davis. And Ellie, I just wanted to mention that one thing I heard just before we got on air is that you're sort of on loan from Williams College for the summer doing this internship with the Berkshire Eagle. And what an amazing opportunity you had to do to be a part of this big event that happens right smack dab in the middle of your internship. Just talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I had a few moments of reflecting where it's like there are so many things that happened that were convenient. You know, one hand, I get to do this summer, and it's been an amazing opportunity outside of all of the Kamala Harris coverage. But then the other things that happened, number one, she's coming to Pittsfield, which not a lot of people expected. And Right. Then again, she's coming to Pittsfield in the first kind of regular campaign appearance after she has become the presumptive nominee. Mm. So it was just such a moment to be a part of. And yeah. I mentioned this before, I think like earlier in the week, Kevin and our managing editor, Lindsay, were both kind of like, she's probably not coming. Like with everything so crazy yeah. that's happening, yeah. We can't expect her to be able to come. But when we found out that she was coming, I was supposed to be in Boston for the weekend, but I totally rescheduled. I was like, I have to be here. This is the moment. And I was so glad that I was. It was an incredible experience.
So this kind of cemented the idea that this will be your career, right? There's no doubt about it now.
There were two people that were next to me when Kamala Harris came down, and I just turned to them and I was like, wow, this is the best moment of my career. And it was.
Well, maybe not. Maybe there'll be even better ones coming up.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we just are appreciative of in the Berkshires is the Eagles, really appreciative of course, all of the schools and colleges around. But Williams has a wonderful internship program through which we very often, every summer, I think for the past 10 or 15 years, we've had at least one Williams College internship through the alumni fund, I believe it's called. I'm probably not getting it.
Alumni-sponsored internship program. Huh.
Thank you. And it's just been wonderful. And having Ellie and John, and we also have Toby. He works on the B Magazine for us as well. But we're lucky enough to have all of these guys this
That's
summer.
Great.
It's awesome.
Fantastic to have. And Claire, I did want to follow up with you after the break and talk about the substance of Vice President Harris's speech, because it was fairly brief, right? Not expected to be very long. I think I heard about 17 minutes long. Was there anything in there that you were expecting, not expecting? Did something catch your ear as you were reporting? And was your reporting, did it have a different perspective maybe than the national reporters that you saw? Because I'm sure you read all the coverage from everything else. And then I'm thinking you're probably looking at that and saying, well, what did I do compared to what did they do? What kinds of things did you hear?
Absolutely. When we were planning for this, so my Friday was basically reading everything that I could get my hands on. Mm. So previous coverage of her both before and after President Biden withdrew his bid for re-election. So I read coverage of her appearance. She did a fundraiser in Provincetown, mm-hmm. Which was before President Biden stepped down from the nomination. And, coverage of her rallies that she had done in Milwaukee and her position on policy. So I just wanted the most exhaustive understanding of where she's at right now. Mm-hmm. And that really prepared me well. One, because I had body paragraphs written up in our system so that when I came back after reporting, I had some article already ready for me. But even more so, it prepared me in the sense that when I did get into the room and I did hear the vice president speak, I had a clear understanding of kind of what was some talking points that we've heard again and again from her, right? Whether that be in her campaign video or at the different rallies and fundraisers that she's attended. And then what was new information, right? And so that's kind of what my ear was peeled for. So she did talk a lot about the policy that's very key to her campaign, whether that be, you know, abortion rights, whether it be quelling gun violence, voter rights. So she did mention all those things. And then, of course, she did, at the beginning of her speech, thank President Biden and acknowledge his accomplishments in the past few years. And then, of course, she did turn around to speaking about her opponent, right?
Right.
President Trump and his running mate. And Greg mentioned earlier that there was a supporter outside with a sign that Trump is weird, right? That everybody kind of glommed onto. And it's funny.
That's the key word now. It seems like they're big talking points. Whether it was intentional or whether it was unintentional, it seems to be that that is the thread that's worked through. So that came through pretty strong in this particular event.
Yeah, so when he said that, I realized that I have a quote from her that I did quote in my article, where she says something very similar. So the vice president said, "You may have noticed Donald Trump has been resorting to some wild lies about my record, and some of what he and his running mate are saying, it is just plain weird." And so that was, you know, a theme both inside and outside the theater.
What was the reaction like to the crowd when she said that?
Everyone quite enjoyed that. There was quite a bit of laughter, some applause, of course. Yeah.
And to be fair, this is a crowd of 800 supporters who have paid money to get in to support her candidacy, right? So as red meat that she's throwing out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you could see that throughout the event. You know, Kamala is a very engaging speaker, and that's something that I noticed, you know, watching coverage of her. But also being in that room, you could see how much that is true. There was... I don't even know how many standing ovations for her throughout the speech, quite a bit of applause, and people were very engaged and excited to hear what she had to say. And so, yeah, she spoke to President Trump, and then also, as she has in rallies now since coming to Pittsfield, she did ask him to reconsider with engaging with her in debate, because he did withdraw from that debate happening in September. And so, you know, she said that the only way, you know, with an opponent is to talk with them. And so she did ask him to reconsider and engage with her in debate in September.
Yeah. And it's fair to say, too, that this was really the first event of a presidential candidate in the entire country. Right. I mean, the event that she had the week before, she was a vice presidential candidate. And there was no even idea that maybe the president would drop out of the race and that she would be the candidate. And so now this is her first time speaking to an audience here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, as a presidential candidate. So that in itself is history to be documented.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Claire, but it was she locked up enough delegates to become the presumptive nominee, what, by Thursday?
I believe so, yeah.
It was Thursday, yeah. At least by then. So you're absolutely right, Sean. This was the ground zero for that.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the sort of history of presidential candidates or presidents or former presidents visiting Berkshire County, because that was another feature that the Berkshire Eagle ran on the day of the event, right? The morning of the Saturday paper, which is the weekender. That's the one that's Saturday and Sunday, essentially the big paper, if you will. And that was a feature that was researched and written by Joe Derwin. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that, because again, that was a very sort of grounding part of reporting, because you can then say, well, put it in perspective. This is a historical event, but it's not the only one we've ever seen. And here's some of the other stuff. So maybe talk about how that was put together.
You know, Joe is writes for the Eagle. He writes for a lot of other publications, but he specializes in local history, and he had a lot of familiarity with the Berkshire's brushes with presidential either candidates or presidents beforehand. And so we asked, and he obliged with a just a wonderful piece that reflected back on various visits throughout the years that presidential visits, presidential campaigns that had taken place in the Berkshires, and
it was more extensive than I would have thought. I
mean, yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you know, one of the we just got to do a shout out to Evan Berkowitz and Mitch Chapman, who really took that whole piece by Joe Derwin and really transformed it, you know, with graphically and visually in print. So shout out to them. But back to the...
And the design is very important, right?
I mean, incredibly.
That's the thing that engages the readers beyond just the content, which is obviously of primary importance. But if you don't bring them in with attractive graphics and with font styles and with, you know, that's really what's going to draw them to say, that's interesting, let me find that out more. I think it's sometimes underrated.
We have my big mantra lately, past couple of years, has been, you know, the news that we report has to be interesting. And if it's important enough to publish, we have to make it interesting to read. And that's been a really big push, especially over the last year under Lindsay Hollenbaugh. Mm. And as managing editor, and so we've really been trying to advance that. We really want to make sure that our readers are getting important news, but that they're interested in reading. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there to unpack. But yeah. You know, one of the most interesting things that has ever happened in Pittsfield, and this is kind of dark, but you know, I think it was back on September 2nd, 1903. I believe is the date that Teddy Roosevelt came to town, and he was in a presidential carriage-cade. Yeah. I guess that is the thing to say when a trolley came and collided with the carriage and resulted in the death of the first fatality of a Secret Service agent in the line of duty, Wow. I mean, that was a moment, in history. Mm-hmm. And it was quite interesting just to think about that. Granted, it happened 100 years ago. Yeah. But like, wow. I mean, this is, you know, all the history that really does happen here in the Berkshires. And, you know, call me crazy, but really awesome news happens in the Berkshires. Like sometimes we just have a connection to like so many different things here. It's either because of the place that people have been here, or it's because of the people who've been here have gone to other places and made history here. But it's really awesome to have those kinds of connections. But from presidential tragedy to presidential success, you know, the Berkshires has really seen all kinds of presidential activity. And we're even reflecting on some of the presidential activity that had taken place just at the Berkshire Eagle alone, with visits by Jack Kennedy, who'd been a candidate for Senate, a candidate for president, obviously. Jimmy Carter came to visit the Eagle's editorial board. Hmm. I did request an editorial board meeting with Kamala Harris, but that didn't come together. She was kind of busy that day. But we tried.
You still have 96 days.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because, you know, that it could matter.
Yeah.
We just got to put $1.8 million together.
That's right. Yeah. Right. To attract her. Yeah.
Well, they do say the newspapers are the first draft of history. Mm. And so having that to rely upon, you know, just to be able to look back in those archives is pretty special. And to be, and also to be in the middle of that and to realize that you're writing the first draft of history.
Yeah.
Cool. And as a native of this city who grew up here, you know, it's a pretty cool moment.
Right. Here is the first draft of history. This was the Tuesday edition of the Berkshire Eagle with Vice President Harris there from the Colonial Theater behind the flags there. And that's the document. People look back at that and say, this is what happened in Pittsfield in 2024. Nobody knows what the outcome of the election will be yet, so that's always still to be written, but that's in history right now. Greg, you had mentioned about how that's the first draft of history, but maybe now the electronic versions of news are the first draft of history. I'll just throw that out there to you. And you had mentioned the blog, which was a very important part of your reporting that day, because obviously this is a Tuesday edition that was in print There was a Saturday edition before the event happened. So there's a lot of time in between there for a daily newspaper to not have something in someone's hands. But you had a blog, and you have an e-edition, right? And there are other ways for people to get that news in their hands. Maybe talk about sure. the importance of that.
Well, I mean, when you go back to the sort of the early days of the internet, you know, back when I rode my dinosaur to work, you know, blogs were more common because there was sort of a way to show things as they happen. And social media kind of comes in and sort of pushes that off to the side a little bit because you have these other formats for, you know, that are reaching people to their phones. But bringing back the live blog for this event just turned out to be such a great idea, because when you have people spread over this fairly wide area of geography around, you know, those blocks of downtown Pittsfield, and you have all these people with different perspectives, just the ability to be able to sort of provide that in real time. I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't know how this was going to work out, and it turned out it was gangbusters. And the readership that we had, the way we sort of connected with folks, the way we connected with folks not only here in the Berkshires, but across the nation and probably around the world, you know, we're able to see that real-time data come in. And you know, it's just, you know, you figure, okay, well, we're probably going to be in the national spotlight today, so let's be on our game, kids. Let's spell things correctly. I'm talking to myself here. But just to see those numbers come in and to see that sort of blue dot over Washington, D.C., which we normally don't see on that map, pretty cool.
So in other words, those folks are connecting with the Berkshire Eagles site. People in Washington, D.C. want to know what's happening in Pittsfield at that moment.
Right. And then we have the e-edition, which is, you know, it was a great innovation. It's, you know, sort of shows people the newspaper as it went out. In this case, you know, we don't print that edition on Mondays, but just the job that Mitchell Chapman did in putting that together, just, you know, it sort of becomes a digital keepsake. I mean, lots of folks keep newspapers from big events that happen. I mean, I have grandparents who gave me old newspapers. I guess they knew what Greg was going to do when he grew up. that was kind of obvious. So now, you know, that maybe that's a, you know, do we have to sort of print the PDF of that to have that as a keepsake? It's a good question.
One of the things that the live blog really allowed us a platform so that when we had I think one of the interesting things that listeners might find interesting is that the majority of our coverage on Saturday was done by cell phone on the devices.
Interesting. How so? Is that between you trading information, or was it by
so the live typing, blog all things? Yeah. Ran off everybody's cell phone, and Lindsay was based in the newsroom making sure that everything gets stitched together. So if Ellie or Claire or Greg or John or Stephanie or Jillian were taking photos or giving real-time reports, when they hit the publish button, their post goes up live on the site. We had close to 14,000 people viewing that live blog during that hour or two that were trying to follow our coverage, and we could tell where our readership was coming from, of course, and it was a lot from the Berkshires. But that big blue dot, there was a lot of readership coming from Washington, D.C., of course. Probably people were trying to pay attention to what was going on there. So that was pretty exciting. And being able to provide those real-time updates, which we absolutely do. I mean, one of the things that is about the Eagle is that we're actually a digital-first organization. It's really become sort of our largest, one of our most premier platforms for delivering news, and print is still very important, but it's sort of it's not the first stop on that train. Your first stop is digital, next stop is print, and so we are able to really concentrate on making sure that our digital performance was up to speed, and the blog worked great.
I think a lot of subscribers also will take advantage of sort of the push notifications of the electronic version. I know I do. So I've got my phone, I might be looking at it for something else, and suddenly a push notification comes up from the Berkshire Eagle, something has just happened. And so I'm clicking into that, and you know, I'm in the know quickly, right? What I was curious about as I was listening to Kevin talk about that just now is compare and contrast that to let's say, a Hillary Clinton visit here in 1998, right? When you didn't have those tools. Cell phones were around, but they didn't do what they do now.
Sure.
And that immediacy of being able to get that news out, right? It was really only, you found out about it the next day, pretty much, unless you were, at the time, probably listening to the radio or something that was more immediate, right?
Yeah.
It's a new, completely different world.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because there's a photo of Ben, Eagle photographer Ben Garver, on scene with a pager.
In 1998?
In 1998. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, the bulk of the coverage of that event, you know, wound up, you know, I don't remember if actually we published that to the web the same day or if it was published the next day.
I think there was a very rudimentary website.
It was very rudimentary
had at the time.
Yeah.
There was some semblance of a web presence in 1997, but news wasn't being pumped out.
Yeah, and mostly it was, you know, it was print the next day. But I must say, you know, sort of the change in doing business with the technology comes with some different challenges. After 90 minutes of trying to hold a phone in my left hand, you know, just sort of with my left arm, this thing started cramping up. I don't know how the younger folks do it. You know, and also being able to, the ability to sort of go between platforms in your phone quickly. You know, my superannuated brain doesn't quite keep up the way it used to. But no, it's very, very different. But it's also, you know, we have that gift of immediacy that we're able to get folks.
A big difference. Claire, what was the reporting like for you inside the room if Greg had a tired arm at the end of the day from his cell phone use? What were you taking notes with?
I was also using the live blog. I mean, as you know, I was in that room for 2 hours, right? So there was a limited amount of news in that one room. But as the members of the staff were coming in and giving us updates, I'd be sending those out to our managing editor, Lindsay, so she could share those with the rest of the team and coordinate for coverage of Harris rolling into town. But those were also things that I was sending to the live blog, right? Mm. So when I heard, you know, she's 15 minutes out, that would be something that I posted so that other folks also had an understanding of where we were at the timing. And then going inside and being able to cover Harris's speech, that was a little bit dicey. We did not know in those 2 hours leading up to it what was allowed, right? So when we first got into that room, it was no audio, no video, no photos.
Huh,
right?
Interesting. So almost a complete lockdown
right?
And what do you think the reasoning for that was?
You know,
because it was a fundraiser event, or do you think that they were just nervous that she might have a gaffe of some kind, right? This is their first time out as a presidential candidate. They want to maybe limit the downside to it and enhance the upside. I'm just wondering, what, as a reporter, what you thought.
My sense was that it came down to it being a fundraiser and not a rally, right? Because what they said, you know, even in defending kind of the choice of not allowing us to cover the full extent of the performances and speeches, was that donors paid a lot of money, right, to hear Yo-Yo Ma play and hear James Taylor. And so that was not open for public viewing.
Right.
And so that was kind of their response. And I think
that's what you're paying for, right?
If you're going to the event. That's what you're paying for, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Insider look. And so that was not something they wanted shared out with folks outside, I guess. And so originally there wasn't even going to be a pool photographer, right? It was pretty locked down. And as more reporters were coming in, more and more of us were pushing back against that and seeing, you know, what we could get in terms of a little bit more access or, you know, having audio and video. So,
and it takes that, right? It takes the push back. That's your job. As you find out that the people in power are going to try and limit you to what they want you to see. And your job is to say, no, we're going to find out what's really happening here.
The people in power
are the people
and the press represents the people, and the people have the power. So that is why the press pushes leadership for answers and to open doors.
The reason that the press is the fourth estate.
Exactly. Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
great perspective. I loved listening to all of this today. I really hope our listeners also got a chance to peek inside of what it takes to put something like this together on very quick timetable. And go ahead, Greg.
And just one little other note. The amount of effort that went into this, and it turned out being an hour and 15 minutes that she was actually in Pittsfield.
The entire amount of time.
So just, you know, that's kind of the amazing part in the hindsight. It's like, we put all that effort in and it's over.
And Sean, that's from motorcade going in to motorcade going out.
That's, door to door.
Sean, thank you so much for having us.
Indeed.
And hi to everybody out there. And thank you to WTBR.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I'm always glad to have you here. And I know we'll do it again. There will be something else that we want to talk about. And I think it's all fascinating. And I think the listeners will appreciate hearing it. They read it all the time. It's important to know, I think, what goes into it. So let's keep that conversation going. All right, everybody. Hope you have a great weekend in store. Stay away from those raindrops and thunderstorms. Enjoy the summer heat while you can. And we'll be back again next week with another Morning Drive. Thanks again. Take care.